obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
All you need to do is fall off. Hi, everybody. My name is Betty Ann. And if I only had 1 week to live, let me tell you, I would spin it here. I swear to goodness, I absolutely. My home group is the Tradition 5 group in Woodland Hills, and also the parent meeting on Monday nights in Westlake Village. But at my Friday night meeting in Tradition 5 group, we have about 125 people that come to that group. We have babysitting, preteen, and Alateen. And thank you, Oscar and Victoria, Ning, for your experience, strength, and hope by just reading the Alateen literature. You're a very good reader. You should be a teacher. But anyway, I'm like, what's the kid doing here? I swear to goodness, she was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And thank you, Matt and Ning, for coming up here and sharing your experience, strength, and hope in regards to being a trumpet player. I want to manage you. And... I don't know what the heck meant. Well, I can't swear here. It's in the morning. Okay. I'll be good. Let me tell you. First of all, Bob and I really, really appreciate the fact is that the committee asked us to come share. But what I really appreciate is Gene Kissel. I really, really, absolutely, Gene, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for rolling the dice and recommending us to anything to share here this weekend, because we never have. And no resentment. But anyway, I also want to thank they sign you everybody or everything. I don't know. I've gotten so many cups and napkins and food. They haven't paid my parking yet. But... But I'll tell you, this whole committee and Dave, last night was the funniest thing I've ever happened in my life. I mean, we're from Reno, right? Where I forced him to make a free decision. And I tell you, it was great. And I'm not going to thank somebody else here. I'm going to let Bob do this because he had a kind of a funny experience with this woman. And but we had so much fun last night. I won money. I thought I was winning money, but I won tickets for, and I put them all into that bike. And I don't know who in the heck wrote that bike, but I want that bike. And but anyway, it's been a wonderful, wonderful conference, a wonderful convention. And I'll tell you something about the family disease of alcoholism. You know, they say how the alcoholic affects, you know, how many people in their life. When we first came in the program, October of 1974, you know, they would say two or three people are affected by the disease of alcoholism in the family. And not today, you know, all of us are affected by the disease of alcoholism. And when they read that about the alcoholic that Al read, you know, about the Al-Anon, I mean, you know, being nice and kind and, you know, understanding. I'm like, that wasn't me. And, you know, because I was really, you know, I forced him to really make that free decision. But one of the things that happened to me this weekend is that, and I'm sure that all of you that have a commitment here, I've never seen a conference or a convention, and I've spoken all through the world in the United States, but we've never been to any place, even our local convention, where I've seen so many people on the committee, and they're all like having so much fun. They're just having a great time. And they just give you all, you know, I mean, and the speakers were wonderful. I mean, I just, you know, Paul's here. It was fantastic AA speakers. And I always encourage, you know, our parents, and I always encourage, you know, Al-Anon and things, go to an open AA speaker meeting, go to conference, go to convention, do those things. My Nick's here from, you know, from my home group showed up this morning. I don't know why, but anyway, you know, who we love very much and is a great member of our group and was an Alateen sponsor. Now he's the chairman next year for Catalina, our Catalina conference. And everyone here and the people that I know, what's her name? My host and hostess, Carolyn Jim. She gave me lipstick. Hope she doesn't have herpes or something. No, anyway, no. She's fine. She's fine. Yeah. I tested her. And, but anyway, you know what? It's really, this is the only time I'm ever nervous is when I'm around my people because I can't lie. And but I again with Gene and you know growing up with them, you know, when we came in the program, this is the family meeting. Dave, you know, I mean, we really appreciate. I heard that the only reason he likes, you know, certain speakers and thing is that he can get along with them all weekend. And I'm like, I'm being very nice, Dave, but I just, you know, I know what it was like. I know what it was like not only growing up in alcoholism. I know what it was like anything when I came here to this, you know, to Al-Anon when I forced Bob to make a free decision. I'd gone through a marriage. I had, you know, my husband, I thought, drank too much or whatever. And I took three little girls and a big career, you know, up in Seattle. And I just left. I left town. I left town in my clown wagon and my cat. I have no idea why you take a cat. But anyway, and I was single for a number of years, and I worked in bars. You know, I worked, you know, in cocktail lounges. You know, I always had that, you know, that thing about me and my ego, which I found out through the steps and through my sponsor, is what that ego was always trying to be something that I really wasn't, to look good. And, you know, that's just like alcoholism. That's how alcoholism affected me. I had to be somebody that I really wasn't. And I hated my name. That's why I got married the first time. My maiden name was Yoakum. So I got married and changed the name to Haynes. And now I'm on the, you know, the last part, Zets, you know. But anyway, I, you know, I went through all that, you know, that period, and I don't have enough time to tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you, by the time that I got to Al-Anon, I was what we all talk about, physically, mentally, spiritually bankrupt in every area of my life. And I had no higher power, no God of my understanding. I had no mentors. You know, we talk about mentors here in the program. That's sponsorship. You know, I had no one to lead me and guide me. My father and my stepmother, it was you know, they were having a terrible time with my father's alcoholism. I have five half-sisters and brothers. Last year, my brother died of alcoholism. And they had a party, you know, and I had a choice, you know, to be able to go up there or not to Sacramento. Thank God for the program also, thing is that when I came in here really desperate. I came in here and thing because I, you know, there was no else. This was the last hurrah. Al-Anon was the last hurrah. Bob, when I met Bob, I was working as a cocktail waitress in Reno, and I was trying to also get my career going and doing some things. And it was craziness. My three girls were living back up in Seattle with their father and his new wife, which I made amends to, thank God. And, you know, I was completely, absolutely spiritually bankrupt. I had no idea, you know, that he would come into this bar, that this would, you know, that I would fall in love with him. And that's one of the things that I heard this weekend when we were in the Lois Wilson Stepping Stones thing yesterday. And Bob and Ellen can attest to that, too. Anybody that was in that yesterday. The love story that Lois had. One of the times when we were meeting with Lois Wilson up in Stepping Stones, we went up there a number of times, took our kids there and all that, JR and Amy. And it was really interesting because I asked Lois one time, I said, Lois, listen, why did you stay with Bill? Why didn't you leave Bill? And she, you know, she was so funny. She said, because he was going to die. And I said, oh, soon? And she said, yes, I loved him so much. I knew that he would not, you know, live, and that's why I stayed. You know, I loved him so much. And she did. It was a love affair. And I think that's what Al-Anons have. We have a love affair with our wives, our partners, our husbands. You know, we have a love affair thing with them thing that is so destructive, you know, that we never get to look at. And I got to look at myself and thing when I fell into love, into lust with Bob. This is morning, right? It's spiritual. Okay. But, you know, and I met him in that bar, and I was at my last, you know, it was at my last hurrah, and, you know, that, hey, what else could I do, you know? He came into the bar with a blonde with big boobs, and, you know, again, you know, as lower companions, I found out when I went to the AA meeting and heard that. Lower companions, oh, that's what he was with, not me. I was his higher companion. I was his higher power, and, But You know, we started on that merry-go-round called denial. I love our literature. I love Al-Anon literature. You know why? Al-Anon literature and AA literature and Alateen literature and preteen, it's all written by us. It's all our stories. It's all our history. It's all our oral history. So I could identify with the literature. I love the literature. I read literature every year. I read all the literature, you know. But still, I love the literature and I love the books. I love the one day at a time, you know. Those are the things that, you know, absolutely kept me in good stead. They, you know, you guys started us to use prayer and meditation already by reading that book every day. That was, we never realized that. I never realized that. That's how reading that one day at a time book, that's your prayer meditation. You know, and I kept waiting for some ums or something else happening or my mind not going around like that slot machine or whatever, you know. But, so, you know, when I met Bob, you know, Bob has, he'll tell you his story too, but, you know, he came from an alcoholic family too, but what happened is that he had a lot of ex-wives that he marries twice. You know, he'll tell you about that. So he had these ex-wives and ex-mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, well, not soon to be ex, I'm sorry. So we started out with having to, you know, put them down on our list for amends and looking at the wreckage of our past. But what was really interesting about that is that I, you know, I pursued this relationship with him and I had that feeling there was something wrong with this picture with him. He wore a great Brooks Brothers suit, smoked a cigar, had a lot of money, owned a really nice 5-star restaurant, you know. Of course, I went to work for him and then it started, you know, that merry-go-round called denial for 9 months. And I ended up in during that time of that 9 months of year, I ended up in absolutely doing things that I can't even talk about this morning here in this meeting. You know, that would be the wreckage of my past. One thing I used to do, and I was laughing this weekend over about, you know, following them, you know, and I heard in a meeting yesterday there was somebody following them or whatever. So I always caught them. And thank God we lived in Reno, didn't live down here. I never found them. And I can remember one night going out and I had my high heels on and my, you know, outfit on and all this kind of stuff, left the restaurant, left my mother-in-law, who I really loved in a very special way. And I can remember going down to Harrah's where I used to work and going down, you know, cause I knew he was at the Blackout Bar. And I can remember going down to the Blackout Bar, you know, and I'm going through there and smelling the Old Spice and doing all this and, you know, looking for him. And I found him and I'm dragging him out and I have these really high heels on. I'm dragging him out, yelling and screaming at him, and it's not Bob. Yeah, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Who in the hell are you?" You know, and he goes, "Who in the hell are you?" You know, I said, "I saw a ring on his, you know, finger." I said, "You should be home with your wife." He goes, "Well, I don't know about that." You know, he could have been another one of my fifth steps. I mean, that's just one incident. This is like every night. Can you imagine me? You know, I'm not that sweet little Al-Anon that sits at home waiting. Man, I'm out there looking, you know, and doing the drive-bys, going to the bars, you know, dragging them out, throwing them off the 21 table. And then at Harrah's, they call X, and that means security. And security comes, when I saw, what's his name yesterday, the security guy, remind me of that. And the security comes over, and they look at me, and they're like, "We know you." And they're dragging me out of Harrah's. And he's still gambling with the blonde and the big boobs. But anyway, you know, just a little bit of history about, you know, our lives together. It should not be. Bob always says that. There is, God must have said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to get these two screwballs together, you know, whatever, and screw it up even more." But, you know, we got to that point of the one night, and Al-Anon's hit bottoms too. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about that. We hit bottoms, too. We come to that point, and it says in our literature, you know, of the feelings of unwanted and unloved and alone. We come to that desperation place in our lives, where, you know, we love this alcoholic so much. We love this person so much. But it becomes the dilemma, you know, should I stay? Should I go? Should I kill him? You know, that's the ultimate Al-Anon slip when you kill him. And... But I had that moment of clarity, just like the alcoholic does. I had that moment of clarity that one night. You know, the one night he locked me in the restaurant. He left and went off and to gamble and do all that. And I couldn't get out of the restaurant. And I can remember the humiliation of calling my mother-in-law at the time. You know, I can remember the humiliation at, you know, 1:30 in the morning calling her and saying to her, you know, hey, Mom, you got to come down and get me out of the restaurant. What do you mean, get you out of the restaurant? You know, Bob locked me in the restaurant. And, you know, I could hear underneath her breath, she probably was saying, well, stay there. And, you know, but at the end of her life, because of Al-Anon, because of a sponsor, because of the steps, because of that putting her on the list, because of her, you know, putting, you know, at Christmases, you know, when we were so broke and I had to ask her to borrow the JCPenney credit card, the humiliation of that even after sobriety. You know, and the wreckage that we talked about this week in the A's did, the wreckage of their past, the wreckage to the family. I can remember going to her and I begged Bob, please go to her, ask her if we could use the JCPenney card to buy Christmas presents. And Bob, no, I'm not going to do that, you know, and all this. And so I finally did. And I can remember that humiliation, you know, of saying to her, can we borrow the JCPenney credit card? And it took a lot of, you know, guts for me to do that. And she said, yes, if you put our names on it, on the presents. And that humiliation put me back again, you know, but not back again to that place where, you know, I really hated her in a special way. But my sponsor shared with me, you know, if we put ourselves in those kind of positions and then, you know, that's what happens to us. You know, that's what puts us in that, you know, humiliation. Because I was humiliated when I came into Al-Anon. I was not humble. I was humiliated by my actions and the way that I acted and the way I ended up in jail. And that was my bottom. I ended up one night and then leaving the restaurant, you know, being that arrogant, self-right, I'm leaving the restaurant. You figure it out. And, you know, and I go home and I have to take the babysitter home. And I left my Ambie, who's my middle child, who's now just 41 years old. And I left her with the dogs. Now they would tell you it would be abuse, you know, or they would throw me in jail for leaving her there. And I left her and I got stuck in, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was stuck at California Street and the light wouldn't change. The light wouldn't change. And that was my bottom. That, you know, I went through the light. 3 o'clock in the morning. I live in Reno. Everybody knows our restaurant. You know, what the hell? And I go through the light and this kid's in the car with me, my babysitter. His brother works at my restaurant. And I go through and this cop picks me up. And this is a new cop to Reno. And he picks me up and he gives me the test and he does all this. And I said one of those things in the 70s that you say, you know, no wonder they call you, you know, pigs. But anyway, you know, I'm a big wheel. I'm, you know, we own this restaurant. You know, again, that false bravo, you know, how dare you, you know. Plus, I'm, you know, I got to get him out of that restaurant. And, but anyway, the cop took me to jail. They handcuffed me. They took me to jail. And I went sober. It's not nice going sober to jail. And when I got there, you know, they booked me and they have one phone call. And this is the phone call that I made to Bob at the restaurant. My waiter answered the phone. I said, you got to get Bob. You got to get Bob. I'm in jail. He laughed. And I could hear him all partying. And I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in trouble. And by the time that Bob got to the phone, I said, and this is one of the things over all the years in Al-Anon. And this, you know, and I never had this happen to me before. My family, nobody ever helped me. Nobody ever helped me. I was so independent that Al-Anon gave me interdependence on another higher power and you and a sponsor and my group. But anyway, I said, Bob, you got to help me. You got to help me. Come help me. Come get me out of jail. Because the bail bondsman that we used was drinking at our restaurant. And Bob says, you know what, Benny Ann? You always figure everything else out. Figure this out. And he hung up the phone. That was it.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
And they put me in a padded cell because I acted out. Now they call it bipolar or something or whatever. And they drug you. And you get to go to a nice place. And, you know, these girls call me up from the nut house. I'm like, hey, it's a nice vacation. You know, it's free. And but I hit that bottom that morning. And then I remembered, as we all remember how we got here, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, who shared with me about Al-Anon. And my brother-in-law is an alcoholic, and he was in AA, and he said to me, he goes, Betty Ann, my brother might never get sober, but you need to go to Al-Anon. He said, you're really sick. And so I made that phone call, you know, and I made that phone call to Al-Anon. And that morning that Bob didn't come home, you know, I made that phone call to Al-Anon, and I said something, you know, that I said over 35 years ago, and I said, please help me. And she did. Mickey B. helped me. She talked to me for 2 hours on the phone. So if you're not in service and you're not on the phone line, even if you're an old-timer, get on the phone line again. Get on there. Be of service to that, because you never know what's at the other end. In L.A., we get kind of like weird ones on, but anyway. You know, that really started us off in, you know, into the program. And it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough, the program was, and then for us, and then we first got in. Because, you know, Bob, that morning that he, you know, that I forced him to make the free decision that night to go to AA, he couldn't go that night. He had to go see Liberace with his friends. And we went to, did that, but he promised me he'd go the next night. And we went to the VA hospital, and that's where everybody was doing the Thorazine shuffle, you know. That's what they gave alcoholics up at the VA hospital. But, you know, there were some Al-Anon members there that, in fact, there were guys. And I'm so grateful for my Tradition 5 group, because a third of our group are men. And my mother was killed when she was 9 months pregnant, trying to rush home from work one night to give my dad dinner and for him not to go out to the bar. She was pregnant with twin boys. And so, you know, my sponsor told me, Shirley told me, my late sponsor, she said, you know what, Betty Ann, everybody that's been taken away in your life that you love so much will be replaced in Al-Anon. So the men in my group, or the men that I know here, you know, these are my brothers. These are, you know, God gave me back men in my life, I think, that are safe. That Marie, my baby talked about yesterday, that, you know, gave me, you know, brothers that would take care of me through Al-Anon, that I could trust. But anyway, we went to that meeting, and then they told me to go to the Monday night Al-Anon meeting. I went to the Monday night Al-Anon meeting, and the AA meeting was in the back room. Of course, I followed Bob into the back room. Now, they had a really nice room at the Alano Club, the Dryers Club there in Reno. It was a really nice room the AAs had. We sat out in the front porch, and it was cold. And it had the, you know, the pool table with the boards on top and a light bulb hanging down and these couches. And everybody smoked then. Everybody smoked, you know. And they were all laughing. There was three men in my group, too. And we had to sit out in the front porch. So this arrogant Al-Anon, I'm not even, you know, my first meeting, I'm like, how come we don't have a nice room like they do, you know? And they said, well, this room here is where they help drunks. They bring them in here all night long. And, you know, that's why there's cigarette burns on there. And, you know, I had a kind of a spiritual experience with that. I realized that there was something that, you know, that AA and Al-Anon had for me to feel worthy to be able to be sitting on a couch that had cigarette burns in it and holes in it. I don't know. Nowadays, everybody wants a nice room. So do I. But anyway, but what happened is that I had a spiritual experience that first meeting. You know, that first meeting, because I was worried about him staying in the meeting. And then it crossed my mind that Bob might have go out the back door and go back to the restaurant. Because he was always, you know, I have to stay at the restaurant. Well, that's where he drank. But anyway, but then something happened during that meeting, and I asked all those questions at the end of the meeting. They said, well, newcomers, you know, do you have any questions? And I went, yeah, can I still drink? I am a terrible drinker. You give me two drinks, I'm on the floor, or else I'm beating the crap out of him. And, you know, I'm the Jekyll and Hyde personality. But, you know, and this Bill, this old Bill, and that's one of the reasons why I stayed in Al-Anon. He said, listen, Betty Ann, if you need to have a drink, you need to be in the back room. I don't ever have to take a drink in Al-Anon, especially in front of Al-Anon. My house is a clean house. There is no booze in our house. You know, thank God for that. There's no, you know, liquor in our house, anything to cook with. I don't cook, but anyway, no, I cook macaroni and cheese. But anyway, you know, that started it. The first year in Al-Anon, you know, was unbelievable. I got pregnant with my son, JR. A lot of you know my son, JR. And I have three daughters, you know, by my previous marriage. They came back. And my oldest daughter, Kimberly, is married to an alcoholic who's been sober 28 years. And she works up in Reno at the VA hospital. She's a pharmacist tech. She goes to Al-Anon. She's been in Alateen. She went through Alateen and then went to Al-Anon. She counts her years of that. And I had a very contentious relationship with her over the years in Al-Anon. But all things can be healed here because of the people in this room, the Carol, people that I know here in this room that have gone to Reno and have known my daughter, came to her wedding. And all these people in there are my advocates to my children. That's the way of the amends that you make to your kids is through you. That's what the fellowship is for. The miracle of the fellowship for us is for us to get better through the 12 steps and to work the 12 steps and give welcome and comfort to families of alcoholics. But you guys give welcome and comfort to all five of my children. You are my best advocates. My children know more about me. And I mean, the first years that I was in the program, my kids really disliked me. They hated me in a special way. But anyway, But through Al-Anon and Alcoholics Anonymous and sobriety, you know, my children have seen the miracle. They've been in Alateen. They've been in preteen. They've been, you know, they've been to open A meetings. They went to conferences and conventions with us, you know, and they resented that in their young adult years, though. You know, we spent too much time with AA and Al-Anon. They, you know, they went through that period. But you know what? Our sponsors told us we don't change our program. We have to be that attraction. We have to be that miracle for somebody else and to be their advocates. That's why we have long-timers. That tea was loaded with long-timers. I mean, loaded with long-timers. I mean, I want to be at that table. No, I don't in 20 years. But anyway, so what was really for us when our son was born, everybody was there. I used to be at St. Mary's Guild. You know, I was on the guild. How could I tell somebody on the guild, you know, my husband's a drunk. Don't come in our restaurant and buy him drinks or whatever. But you know what? I'll tell you, everybody was there. Sister Seraphine was there. Everybody was there when our son was born. My doctor said, oh, my God, I can't believe all these people, you know. And I said, I know. I said, they're all my relatives. And he goes, okay, fine. And but the next, you know, 2 weeks, he put literature out. I get to put literature out at my gynecologist office, you know. And, that, you know, I said, can we put literature out? We were all enthusiastic about that. They put me in public information then. And, you know, I wanted to do service. I wanted to be of service because I was so grateful for what they were giving me, I thought. And I found out later the only reason that they had me in public information is because I had a big mouth and I talked all the time. But they liked that. So I said, okay. But anyway, we had our son, JR. And then a year later, we lost that restaurant. And a year later, you know, we had twin girls. And we had them 2 months early. And they talk about the family disease or the disease of alcoholism. What Alcoholics Anonymous did for Bob and for my family, I am so grateful for that because of the fact is that 3 months later, I went in to pick up one of my twins and she was dead. She died of SIDS. And the first person I called was an Al-Anon and her husband, Jim and Dottie Dickens from Reno. And I called Dottie and I said, Dottie, please help me. You know, I was in shock and they came over immediately. They had everybody come over. My kids, my two older girls, Deanna and Kimberly, were in school, and Abby was in school, and they came over. And when they got off that bus, AAs and Al-Anons were there. And my daughter just spoke at my husband's 75th birthday party, Deanna did. And that Christmas, my husband bought her a motorcycle, a dirt bike. She loves, you know, she loved that. She said, here she is, 47 years old, and she spoke at his birthday and said, the best thing of my stepdad gave me thing was this bike. Because she went and grabbed that bike, and she took off and went up in the hills in Reno with another Alateens. They went up there on that bike. And that's how she, you know, walked through that death of her twin sister. Yesterday, I had another calling, a text message. I don't get calls, but I got a text message from that other twin, Amy, who's been in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous and been in and out of jail and been in and out of, she went to prison. And alcoholism is a generational illness. The longer we're here, the more that I see. It doesn't stop, with our kids. My son just separated that boy that, that was an AA, just separated from his wife because of a drinking problem. My two little, grandkids in Detroit. But my son had enough Alateen, and he had enough, of us being an AA and Al-Anon, that he finally had enough. And he said, I have to separate because of my kids. I have to help my kids. And he moved 7 miles away. And he's got the program. He might not go to the program, but he's got the program because he has a God in his life. And he has parents and things that are still continually and siblings that love him. Amy went through all of her siblings. And we had a really crisis with that in a number of years ago. And you were all there for us. My grandson's father, we took our grandson away from her when he was 8 months old, and then again when he was, 2 years old. And then we gave him to his father. He was with his father for a year, and his father was sober in Alcoholics Anonymous for 8.5 years. And one morning they called us on a Sunday morning, and he was dead. He died of an overdose. But he had stopped going to meetings, and we still have this little grandson. But I had to go through a lot of conflict with my older children in regards to where he should be, and he should be with us. So Bob and I are raising this boy, and he's 12 and a half years old. We took him out of a school, and this is the family, disease. This is a family, this is what sobriety does for us. Our sponsors, Keith and Sally, we took him out of a public school. We put him into a private spiritual school. It's a Catholic school, and he's now, last year, and then he made a decision that he wanted to go to a college prep school. Can you believe this kid? I cannot believe this. All due because of Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's due to Al-Anon. It's due to the change of attitude will be of boundless help, it says, for the alcoholic to seek sobriety. No, our change of attitude in Al-Anon, this is my amends to my children, my other grandchildren, is the fact and thing is that we're, and Kimberly wrote in a note. She always writes in her birthday cards to me or Christmas card, "You are a better grandmother than you were ever a mother." Now, I don't like her. But anyway, I got to tell you the little secret of it. The secret of what happened is that this Mother's Day, I got the Mother's Day card from Kimberly. It was late, and she didn't. Why do Al-Anons keep track of that? But anyway, I got it from Kimberly, my oldest daughter. And she wrote a very personal message to me. And it did not say again, "You were a better grandmother than a mother." She told me how much she loved me, how much she cared for me. That's the amends that, because I was willing to suffer through a number of years of not having a relationship with her, but still doing Al-Anon, doing the things we have. I sponsor a lot of people. I'm not into pyramid sponsorship. They don't buy me anything. I think that's the other gift of sponsorship. The other gift of sponsorship and thing of somebody asking you to be your sponsor in Al-Anon, that gave me the impetus to have the self-worth again, the self-esteem again, the self again instead of being into self, being out of self. Paul talked about a lot of 12-step calls. We talk about that in Al-Anon, too. I still love making 12-step calls. I still love having drunks sleeping on my silk couch. And, I miss all those fun days and those years. And I look back again at the amends that I made to my alcoholic father, who my stepmother just passed away last month. And I'm so grateful for Al-Anon and for sponsorship that gave me the ability to be able to have a relationship with my father. I would call him every week. I would, for the last few years. And I would stop in Sacramento before I'd go to Reno and see him. And my kids were like, "Why why do you do that? It was terrible to you. And, you know, and I said, the program asked me to do that. There's going to be a reward for him in, you know, in this life that he can see. My father never ever said, I love you, I care for you, nothing, you know, for years and years and years. And then a couple of years ago, my father, I would say, I love you. And he'd say, I love you too. So all things can be healed and then through Al-Anon, through the 12 steps and then through sponsorship. But all the things that I saw here this weekend can be healed. Every person that I know here in this room, the men that I heard this at the Long Timers Tea, Bruce and Doug and Emery, all these people here and the twins, they, you know, everyone here that I know personally, everyone has had a part of our lives, Bob's in our lives. We're going through a really bad situation right now with Bob's health and, you know, but you know what? There is no situation too difficult to be bettered and no unhappiness too great to be lessened. I came here and I was kind of bummed out this week. I was bummed out because I was thinking, Bob's phone's ringing? It's for me? That's a 12-step call. We're so, I don't know. That's what it is. We're so humbled. Anyway, I'm going to close with this because I want to give Bob some time. And but I want to tell you that we are so grateful that you asked us as a family, as Bob and I, to come up here and share and to be with our people and to really be able to share the miracle. And you guys share the miracle with me. Because every time that you come up to me and every time that you touch my shoulder, every time I'm looking, I'm thinking, who in the hell are these people? And where do I know you from? You know, every time that happens to me, again, you know, like my little grandson says, another little angel is flirting with you, you know. I want to tell you something about him, and I'm gonna quit. We were at a preteen meeting, and last year I took my grandson to preteen, and it was on a Friday night, and usually he has things to do. But anyway, at my Friday night meeting. And we're at the Alateen meeting, and he's kind of like, oh, Grandma, I don't want to go to the meeting, you know. And I said, you know what, you know, you got to go until you want to go. That's what Bob told the kids when they went to Alateen. And, okay, so he goes up to the meeting, and him and another friend, Maddie, and all of a sudden they come down after the meeting. He's dragging this kid with him. And he goes, Grammy, you won't believe this. You won't believe this kid. This is so-and-so. And I went, oh, hi, how are you doing? He goes, Grammy. And he won't let go of this kid. He goes, I gave my phone number. He's going to call me. We got to go pick him up. They live out on Cerritos or some place, you know. And he goes, but his mother went to the Catalina, I think it was, and she wanted to come to bring him to this meeting. And she goes, but he's, I got to tell you, he's got my story. I said, really? He goes, yes. He said, his grandmother, he lives with his grandmother, and his grandmother and let her, his father into the house, and his father kept threatening the grandmother and wanted money out of her. And he says, you know what he did? The grandmother wouldn't give him any money, so he went out and he shot himself. My grandson, sorry. He goes, just like my dad did. You know, my dad died, you know. He said, but I feel bad for him because she died at her, you know, his grandmother's house. He said, we have to help this kid. Do you have any money? For gas? I went, yeah, okay. Anyway, he goes, we're going to keep in touch. The next generation. You know, if my grandkids, now my new great-granddaughter, if we can be here for them like you have been here for us and for our family. And I know that day that I went down to the jail and they brought my Amy in. And yesterday when she texted me and said she was going to come Friday, Saturday, and she hasn't come. But let me tell you, I never want to forget when I saw her in that orange outfit and she put her hand on that window and that glass. Mommy, you have to help me. And I was able to say what Al-Anon has told me to say. And like Sally told me and Keith told me, we'll go visit her. We'll put money on her books, our sponsors. And I was able to say to her, Amy, I love you so much. And I trust that you will figure this one out. She goes, I know, Mom, but I just want you to know how much I love you. I know my alcoholic daughter loves me. I know that addict daughter loves me. I know she loves her father. But I'll tell you something. The love that she has for us and the children that she has that she never gets to see. She never gets to see this boy being raised who's an A student, football player, wants to be an NFL player, wants to, you know, be a comedian or be a businessman and take over my daughter's partner's business. And she might not be able to experience that. But we're able to experience the joy of what you've given us this weekend. And thank you to all of you on the committee, because I know all of you are. But I want to thank all of you, Ning, for giving us hope and the breath of life that there's no change, there's no situation too difficult to be bettered. God bless all of you, and thank you so much for having us.
Enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.